Hello again and welcome back. Now we move on to Jefferson City and our own Marshall Griffin. The big stories there in Jefferson City this week seem to center on right to work and a new attempt at voter ID photo legislation. Marshall, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much.
It's deja vu all over again. These are issues that just are perennial, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, especially the voter ID legislation. The Republicans have been trying to get this reestablished ever since the 2006 law was declared unconstitutional.
Where do you think this is going to go? What are you hearing from our folks?
Well, the Majority Floor Leader John Deal just informed us that that the House will be taking this up next week. We'll try to get first round approval, or as they call it, perfection, which would be followed by a final floor vote and then sending it over to the Senate. So the House Republicans are very serious about the voter ID bill. Now, earlier in the week, the Legislative Black Caucus held a press conference and basically said that the Republicans accused them of trying to engage in voter suppression, that this voter ID bill was about voter suppression.
Is there anything that they're doing, any language that you're privy to that would keep this out of the courts, Marshall, if and when it is passed?
I don't think there's any such thing as language that could keep anything of this nature out of the courts.
Yeah.
Regardless of if they were to put together something that would actually, you know, pass Governor Nixon's sniff test and would allow him to, if not sign it into law, to allow it to become law without his signature, even if that were to happen, and it's very unlikely, I believe, but even if that were to happen, I believe it would wind up in the courts within weeks.
Yeah, I think most people would agree with that. The other issue, and there was a big day there yesterday during a hearing on a proposed right-to-work legislation, a lot of folks on both sides of that issue were involved.
Yes, indeed. Early in the – just before the session started, House Speaker Tim Jones said, you know, we don't expect really much to happen on this front. There's just too much opposition from the Democrats, and even among some Republicans, we're not sure we can get all the Republicans lined up on this. But nevertheless, some Republicans are pushing forward with this. It got a hearing yesterday. That hearing actually got suspended for a few hours just because the House had to go into session, but it was put the two sessions together yesterday from that hearing, and it was pretty much an all-day event. A lot of people crammed into that room, and it's hard to say whether there were more opponents or supporters as far as actual, you know, number count, but in my opinion, the opponents outnumbered the supporters yesterday. A lot of union workers came out to that hearing.
It's been a volatile issue in Missouri for a long, long time.
It has. Even to the point where the opponents are saying that this would allow freeloaders to get union benefits without having to join the union. You know, I think this is the first time I've heard the word freeloader used in this debate on this particular issue.
You know, I just noted this morning, and we acknowledge this on other programs in which you've been involved, that I think there are a dozen or more pieces of legislation proposed in Jefferson City on guns and easing gun restrictions. We wouldn't go down each and every one of these, but there does seem to be a sentiment, given the number of these proposed pieces of legislation, does seem to be a lot of sympathy for easing restrictions down there.
I don't know if it's so much a case of people wanting to ease restrictions. I think a lot of the proponents are afraid that Washington is going to find some way, the Obama administration will find some way to roll back Second Amendment protections. That fear of what the Obama administration may or may not do is what's driving what's going on in Jefferson City with a lot of the pro-gun rights bills. On the Democratic side, you have a lot of them trying to implement what the Obama administration wants to do as far as expanding background checks. Then there's also Senator Maria Chappelle Nadal's bill, which she says her issue should not be, you know, tied in with what happened in Newtown, Connecticut, or with the whole Second Amendment rights debate. Her bill, she says, is to cut back and attack gang violence in the St. Louis area. And her bill basically includes a provision that would require parents to notify school districts if there is a gun in the house.
Moving on to another subject, what are you hearing with regard to the Rams and what's going on here in St. Louis about the potential for a new stadium or the upgrades that have to be made to the existing one? Are people taking a stance on that?
Well, there's not really a whole lot of talk about the St. Louis Rams on that front. The reason that became a story is because one of our media colleagues took the opportunity to ask Governor Nixon about it, since Governor Nixon did a very dangerous thing and let those of us in the media ask questions on any topic. Sometimes you never know what you'll come up with. But he was asked about that because it was the day after the arbitrators came down on the side of the Rams as far as the plans they want. Governor Nixon basically said, there's no money in my budget for a new Rams stadium. He did soften that statement a little bit, saying, maybe there's a way we can talk to people, or maybe see if the NFL is willing to chip in. Apparently, that is the case. The NFL officials are supposedly more willing to help out or pitch in financially if there is to be a new stadium. And that's not just for St. Louis. I believe that's their policy league-wide with any old stadiums. But the Senate, a little bit more of a hardline stance. Tom Dempsey said, I do not support public funding for a new football stadium. Made that very clear. It may not be as tight a budget year this year as in years past, but coming up with several hundred million dollars or yet another bond issue for another NFL stadium is going to be a very hard sell here, especially when you have a Democratic governor and the Republican lawmakers both saying, no, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I think the figure I've seen is $750 million for a new stadium. That's a lot of money, obviously. How about the transportation tax, the proposed one-cent transportation tax? Has that got any legs?
Still waiting to see on that one. It's definitely got legs in the Senate. The hard sell is going to be in the House. That's where Speaker Tim Jones, just before the session started, said that that Missouri's roads do need to be updated. There does need to be some type of new program or new funding mechanism or something to take care of Missouri's roads. But he wants something that is revenue neutral that will not raise taxes. And that's going to be the sticking point in getting it through the House, because what the Republicans in the Senate are proposing, and also Democratic Senator Ryan McKenna, he and Senator Kehoe co-sponsoring this, they are proposing a tax increase. Now, it would be a temporary tax increase. It would be a one penny sales and use tax that would not apply to groceries or to fuel sales or prescription drugs, but it would apply to other purchases. It would last for 10 years, and the revenue generated, which they estimate would be nearly $8 billion, would go towards transportation needs, not strictly highways. It could be highways. It could be mass transit needs. One-tenth of that money is directed or would be directed to go to local cities and counties, and they could decide whether or not they want to spend it on a new road or whether they want to spend it on mass transit of some sort. Or even port facilities. So the only other stipulation I've heard is that maybe about $1 billion of the dollars raised would be earmarked toward improving I-70, making it a six-lane interstate between Wentzville and Independence. But the hard part is going to be getting it through the House. It's going to take persuading the House leaders, particularly Tim Jones, that this is one tax increase that would be beneficial, and also the selling point would be, this would be something that the voters themselves would decide. If this becomes law, it won't become law unless Missouri voters go to the polls in November of 2014 and approve it. So that's a key component of this proposal.
Now, a lot of people worry about these so-called temporary taxes because sometimes they have a way of becoming permanent. So that might have some impact if it does go before the voters. One other area I just wanted to touch base with with Marshall is the fact that I was a little bit surprised to see proposed legislation that would lighten sentences for pot possession in Missouri. I was surprised to see that put before our legislature, but you say it's not getting much traction down there.
Well, it's not mainly because this is kind of a new idea. Yeah, but it's it's had very little time to get around. I mean, the press conference for this bill actually happened about a half an hour ago, and the Speaker Tim Jones, during the press avail, was made aware of it. He was a little standoffish about it, but he definitely made it clear that he's not enthusiastic about it. So,
just one final question to you, and that is the tone of the legislature. Does it have a specific tone that you can identify?
I would say the tone is still being defined at this moment. It's definitely not as contentious as it was the past 2 years, when you had the House and the Senate going at each other's throats, and then both sides taking pot shots at the governor and basically accusing the governor of being an absentee participant in the governing process. Not so much of that this year, but I also think that as some of the more bills and other resolutions make their way through, I think that tone could change. At this point, though, it's not the us versus them mentality that we've seen between the two chambers in the past 2 years. But at this point, that being said, it's still a little too early to say that it's a much better session or much nicer, friendlier session yet.
Well, we have a long way to go. It runs until May. Marshall Griffin, thank you so much for being with us and bringing us up to speed and what's going on your beat down there in Jefferson City. Nice talking to you again. Now get back to work.
Thank you.
Marshall Griffin, St. Louis Public Radio's man in Jefferson City. He joins us, of course, from Jefferson City, and you can get his reports daily right here on St. Louis Public Radio and on our website, stlpublicradio.org. We're going to take another break, and then we'll come back with Amanda Vinicky, who is reporting from Springfield, Illinois, on Governor Quinn's State of the State address yesterday. Anxious to talk to her about some of the things that he had to say. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.